Anthropic just released a brand new model, Claude 4.5 Sonnet. Many people are saying it was the best in the world. And now people are saying that Codex is better again. We don't really know, but I do know they created this cool new interface, which allows you to use Claude code in Cursor or VS Code. I just think it's pretty insane that like Claude has released this little interface that's like almost as good as Cursor's interface. In this video, that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna test out this new model. We're gonna build an insane app using the brand new Claude Code 2.0, and we're gonna test out how well it does. We have Cursor open. It would also work on VS Code, and you open up the extension. Why don't you show people where they can get this extension?
Yeah, so in Cursor or VS Code, you'll have this extensions tab up here. Go into that, and you can just search up Claude Code, and it should be like the first result here. And then there'll be install. I can uninstall it.
Nice.
And then install it. And then you'll see this little Claude icon here, and you click that, and it'll open.
You hit slash login if you're not logged in, and then you hit enter, and this will allow you to enter your thing, and you press open. By the way, this is Muhammad. I forgot to introduce Muhammad. This right here is Muhammad. We got these new pointy fingers. They're kind of fun. Anyway.
So yeah, you'll be logged in, and you can use like an API key or you're just Claude Anthropic account.
Yeah, they give you more credits than you would pay for if you did use your API key. So you should use Claude Max account. You have this interface and you're like, I've never used an IDE before. What's Cursor? What the hell is going on? It's okay. Once you have this open like this, and you could have it open in VS Code, which is literally free to download, we can create an app. And you were talking to me this morning about an idea for an app that you had. And I was like, that sounds lit. You want to talk about that idea?
Yeah, yeah. So if you've ever been on Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, they have filters. And I remember when the Snapchat filter came out in like 2016, 17.
And you're talking about video filters, right?
Yeah, yeah. Video filters on your face.
Yeah.
I remember when they first came out, they're insane. Like, do you remember the one where you like open your mouth and like rainbows come out of your mouth?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like game changing. Now every place has that.
Game changing.
Dude, it was game changing.
You sound like an AI influencer.
That's part of the reason why the Snap like IPO'd. Anyways, because it was like the filters and people could share.
No, filters are shit. Are awesome. They're
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we can use something. We can make that in the browser pretty easily. We can use TensorFlow. We can use the JavaScript version.
Have two words I don't really understand. That's okay.
You don't have to because I'm not even going to look at the code.
Great.
But we can do something similar, and we could make Snapchat.
I like it
on the web.
Let's do what you just said.
Yeah. So I have a prompt that I could use,
Let's do that.
So create a browser-based webcam face effects application that runs entirely client side. So it'll be like no server, no backend, just on the computer. And then it'll run on port 3000, which is like just so you can run it locally. Like you don't have to like publish it to the website.
Okay.
Okay. You getting this so far?
Yeah, great.
This uses real face detection, but keeps effects achievable. And so like the core requirements I want the agent to do is access the user's web camera, real-time face detection with TensorFlow, which is what I talked about. And then they also have something called Face Mesh, which will does a lot of the work for you. This is like a whole project on itself.
You know what? Let's enter this prompt in and then we'll analyze it.
Okay. Are you getting bored?
I'm not getting bored. It's just you're using a lot of words I don't understand. Let's just rip it, dude. Let's just rip it to prod. Ship it to prod.
All right. So Claude, here we go. We can do / model to check out which model we're using.
I like it.
And so we're using the new 4.5 smartest model.
And 4.5, their newest model, is almost as good as 4.1 Opus, except Opus is 5 times as expensive. So definitely use 4.5 Sonnet right now.
It's not worth it. And then we have a couple modes we can choose here. So we can do edit automatically, plan mode, or ask before edits. Usually when I'm using Claude, I go to plan mode and it'll give you your plan. You accept it. In this case, we're just going to accept whatever it does and trust it. And then we can ship it.
Yeah. And so scroll up there. So TensorFlow is a type of technology that if you spend enough time vibe coding, you'll learn these different technologies.
Yeah.
Like for you'll learn the different APIs. Like 11 Labs is fun if you want audio. Gemini is fun if you want to, like Nano Banana is fun if you want to edit images. I know like some other libraries, like one that I React Skia. I don't know what that means, but that's good for canvas-based apps.
Yeah.
And there's all these little vocab things that you'll learn, even if you've never written code, because these agents search the internet out of the box. And so a lot of times it'll just use these package. I'm sure that it might have used this without even you telling it to, like if you asked for an app and it like, and that's where you kind of like learn about these different packages and then you could just use them by saying them later. At least that's how I look at packages.
And then you sound cool. You could tell, you know, Ansh or Vishal, hey, I use TensorFlow. And they're gonna be like, what?
they're like, you know how to use TensorFlow? And it's just like, yeah, bro, I put it in a Claude code and it just did everything for me. And so wait, let's look at the UI real quick. So scroll down while it's working. They made it a lot easier for you to see. Now it says flivver gibberding. and it's just way better than kind of the terminal view.
I think some people might like it. I mean, do you like this?
I like it. I like it. I actually do get I did get used to the terminal. I do kind of like the terminal, but like
I like how it's out the way, the terminal. It's like at the bottom.
Yeah.
This is cool though, if you just want to, you know, chat with it.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of like bigger, but like it doesn't need to be big. You could still put this at the bottom, like you, I think.
You could probably put it at the bottom. I know you can put it to the side like you can with the cursor. So if you're used to the cursor, this is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So I think I can move it here. Or you could have it like as a file like that. That's cool. And this new 4.5 model has, it knows how much context it has left in its conversation.
Let's talk about that for a second. So, you know, when you use ChatGPT or Claude, it'll give you a warning as the chat gets longer. It says like, yo, your conversation's too long. Start a new chat. You know, in the first chat, it doesn't have any, it doesn't have much context. It has like the system prompt or whatever it gives it, whatever it's preloaded into it. Obviously, it's like when you download your computer or when you get a new computer, it's like, oh, you have 80 gigabytes of storage, but really there's like some system stuff in there by default. And that's like half of the context.
Right.
It's a similar thing. But what's cool about this model is not only does it like automatically remove stuff from the context as the conversation goes along, it's like consciously aware of how much context it uses, which is unlike any model I think that's ever been created, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of removes a lot of the need, not maybe not fully, like you should still clear the chat, but these, I think it's the trend is the most interesting part. Like these models are moving in a, towards a world where no one's gonna have to like clear the chat.
Maybe
like it'll kind of know what the purpose it has, and if it finds something out that's not useful for its purpose, it'll just get rid of it.
Yeah, and that comes with like some effects, because then it'll have like Cognition like ran their own evaluations on the model, like the lab that made Devin, and they found that 4.5 has like context anxiety. So once it gets like close to the limit, it'll like stop doing tasks as good and just like finish it really roughly, just so it can
It'll stop doing,
yeah, it'll like do it really quickly and like maybe not the best way, just so it doesn't go over the context.
So an AI model gets anxious as the context fills up. I want to make a TikTok on that. Like this AI gets anxious.
You could see it. I mean, like in the beginning, it has all this confidence and it'll like edit multiple files at once in the beginning when it has like fresh context. And then if we use this a lot, which we will, you'll see it like do one at a time, do small changes, just so it doesn't go over that limit. And like,
You should just be clearing the chat as much as you can, especially if you're moving on to a task where like the conversation's no longer relevant. Like if you're just doing a sequence of smaller chats, you might as well clear. But yeah, go ahead and run that. So if you can hit slash context, you can see, talk about this. What does this mean?
Yeah. So in this one run, Claude used about 35% of the context it has before it like clears its conversation. And then you can see like what percentage of that, like where the context went.
Yeah. Those are the stuff downloaded by default. Yeah.
So yeah, only like really 11,000 tokens.
Whoa, so you have free space.
5%. Yeah.
Damn.
So I have 42% left.
So, and then, okay, what did we try and create? Is it done?
Yeah, it's done.
Let's test it.
Face play. Sounds like a weird name. Okay. Hello World is running. I don't think this is something else that's running. I don't know why.
Oh, maybe you have something else running on port 3000.
I probably do. And I'm just going to ask Claude, please kill whatever is running on port 3000 and run this in the background.
And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I like using Sandbox. To use this, because you can use Claude Code and Codex in the web. It's just, you know, you don't have to deal with ports. Like, what even is a port? That's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Why not just have someone else handle that in the web?
Yeah. When it works, it's great.
Yeah. Ports.
Well, think about it like a port at sea. You know, you have like in San Francisco, you have port, you know, 1 to 9.
I know what a port is.
But yeah, that's basically, yeah.
Can
like,
you just let it cerebrate? You just never let your model cerebrate.
It's crafting.
Okay, now it's crafting. Now you can talk.
I do notice that it lost its color. There's no color here. In the terminal, it's like orange and like...
Yeah. I mean, it did just come out, so...
True. I heard if you have used the Claude Code SDK, I heard they renamed it, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah. So for those of you who've been following my channel, I talk a lot about APIs, which are ways to use this cool technology, AI technology, and other tech in your app. Like if you want to create a ChatGPT wrapper, you can use the ChatGPT OpenAI and hook it up into your app. The same way you can do that, you can also use the Claude Code SDK. So the same technology you're seeing right here, you can add it to your app. You can add Claude Code to any app that you create. One thing that Anthropic did is they changed it from Claude Code SDK to Claude Agent SDK. And the reason is they actually found that a lot of the users, people who use this API, were using it for non-coding related tasks. Ooh, something's loading. Oh, it's asking for camera access. Dude, get rid of this purple gradient. Every app that you make is this nasty purple color. It's heinous.
Well, that's Claude, but if we go to GPT,
okay,
it doesn't do this. This is the difference between the models.
I swear. Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
We have this app. I don't see your camera. I don't know.
Yes, I don't see, and I can't click on anything. This is fine. I'm sure I can fix it in the next prompt.
Okay. Oh, there it is.
Okay, what is going on?
Maybe refresh.
Yeah.
Because you had to give access to your camera. Now it has access.
Okay. It can't detect my face.
All right. So it has the camera.
Is it the hair? Hey, do you want to try your face?
Yeah, we'll try my face. Let's try my face.
No, it can't detect. Okay. We're going to have to throw this back into Claude because...
And when you vibe code, this is normal. Right?
Yeah, like look at this flashing.
Also, this is normal for your developer too. Like you're going to run into issues, you got to fix it.
Yeah.
And so the way you fix it is you go back to Claude and you say, "Why isn't it working?" Just explain what's the problem.
Yeah.
If you have Whisperflow downloaded.
That's what I do. It doesn't work. The face detection just doesn't work. Please help me.
It's also flashing. So like I show my face, it's in the camera view and it just says no face detected and it flashes over and over.
Yes. Let's see. Do we have any? Let's see the browser tools. You probably won't want to do this, but I get special privileges.
Oh, I do this all the time. I go into console.
And I'll copy that if you see an error. And then we can throw that in. We can go over some more slash commands, which are pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can do new conversation or clear conversation if you just want like a brand new one. You can mention files.
You can attach files.
Yeah. And you can do MCP. I mean, do you use
MCP? MCP on paper is like incredibly useful in practice. No one uses them yet. And that's a meme, right? Some people actually use it. Some people use it just because they like to talk about how they use it. I think it's incredibly interesting. So it's like a shared API language that they've created, like a standard that you can hook up to your app. But like, how do you even set up an MCP server, dude? Like, I'm excited for it to get easier to create an MCP server.
I think it will. I think in the future, like MCPs will be game changing. Right now, it's like,
and you have to be technical to set them up, kind of. Anyway, it's done. Let's go take a look, Ski, at the app, Ski.
Okay, I'll allow.
Loading face detection.
Well, taking pictures works. It's still not working. It's still flashing. No face detected. Please search the internet about how to use TensorFlow.js.
Find documentation.
Yeah, find the documentation.
Don't be lazy.
How to use this face mesh. Yeah, don't be lazy. Ultra think.
Should you clear context before you enter this or no?
Well, let's see how much context I have left. This might get what we call the context anxiety. So we should be careful here. You are right. Oh, I still have a bunch. I have 40%.
Okay, 60%. You're chilling.
Cool.
All right. As you can see here, it's not an earth-shattering model.
I give it a pretty nuanced everyday coding. It's definitely better.
It is. I mean, it's better. I mean, but like, is it game changing? It is faster. And maybe that
it's way faster.
Yeah. And one of the reasons it's faster is it can use tools in parallel. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of mentioned this before, like when it has fresh context, it'll edit like multiple files at once or
yes please
or read multiple files at once. And so there's basically, you could say like sub agents, like they read the files and then they bring them back up all at once instead of like going one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it like four times faster,
right?
And it usually does that at the beginning and then towards the end of its context limit.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, a manager doesn't delegate to one person, wait for them to finish, and then delegate to the next person.
Yeah.
Delegate to four people at once. You do this, come back, we'll talk.
Yeah.
And that's what the agents do. And so it's able to call different tools and they just accomplish things at the same time. You know, it can search the internet and like come up with a game plan and make edits to three different... Can it write code files at the same time, or does it?
I don't know, but I think for write it can. For a read, I know definitely. I think I've seen it write multiple files.
So it can read the code base to like investigate what it needs to do all at the same time.
Yeah,
which I'm sure is a lot. of the speed, because it spends more time reading than writing.
Yeah.
Or at least it reads more than it writes. It takes longer to write than to read.
Yeah. I mean, if it reads more than it writes, that's a good sign.
Yeah. It doesn't feel fast right now, I'm not going to lie.
Because it's searching the web. That's like, I think it'll do that one by one.
True. I feel like that would be useful to do it at least in like sets of three.
I think the agents are like, they're like gravitating towards like what nature is already like, you know, if you think of an ant colony, there's the queen on top. And then you go down, there's like the big ants and then small ants and then like worker ants that like just die. And so like, I think agents are like, they're splitting off more and more in this branch where like there's a main agent and it splits off work into like different agents and then they split off work. So we can kind of see that here. Like there's a main agent that tells like four others to like, hey, read these files. And if you remember our NAN video, we sort of had something similar with a CMO agent.
Yeah.
Where there's one main one that like delegated tasks and then they could delegate tasks.
All right.
Looks like it's done. So we can go back. Oh, yeah, I saw it for a second. I think it's working.
Oh, it looks better too.
Okay, there's no flashing. It's still like the purple stuff, but whatever. And then I can throw on some sunglasses. How do I look? Do I look like that one guy from The Matrix? The bald, fat one. Yeah.
No, he's not fat. Is he fat?
He's fat.
It's, what's the guy? Morpheus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fat. We can get a crown or a mustache. I can't stay, you know, I can't live next to schools with this mustache. And then I have this glow, which is sick because it like goes around like my entire face.
And it does this. This isn't like on some server. It's on your computer.
Yeah, yeah. It's running locally. And it's like getting my face. Like I'll put it on you in a second. That's a big clown nose. And then you can see like the actual mask around my face.
And then you could create a new one? Like, could we ask it to create a new one?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we should try next.
It's-a-me, Mario.
Oh, that looks good on you.
What up, though?
That looks good on you.
What up, though?
Give you a new eye color. Or a crown, King Riley.
All right, that's sick.
That's sick. So, yeah, we can, like, add more stuff.
I want to do one with, like, the masks. That's something that seems cool. Is there a way to, like, do an actual mask of some kind?
Or... Yeah, yeah. Like,
just see what it comes up with. Say, like, search
like
the internet.
Full clown makeup.
Full clown makeup. And then say, search the internet and find another cool effect that we could do and add that.
And then, like...
So, we are adding three more.
Like, yeah. If you find more, like, just add them.
I want to see what you can add here. That's basically what I want to do. I want to make this such a fun app to use. So, like, add different filters that I can use. And, yeah, find some documentation. Do some cool stuff. Make it happen.
And then I'm going to do, like, think hard.
Cool. Now it's cerebrating.
Okay. So, added the beard clown. And then added fisheye alien.
Sparkles?
It's cyborg.
All right. So, this was before. This one was there before. Yeah.
Big beard. Let's see how I look with the beard.
All right. That is the lamest attempt at making a big beard, but that's okay.
Okay. I look pretty weird.
A clown. Oh, okay. That one's kind of fire. I actually like it. All right. All right.
Okay. Sketch.
Okay.
I can kind of see what it's on. I don't know. Do you want to do the last four?
Sure. I'll do the last four. I like it. Okay. So we will do fisheye.
Okay, it's like a fish island. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I look so dumb. Alien. That one's actually kind of fire.
That one's cool.
Sparkles. All right. Cyborg.
Whoa.
Arg.
That one's cool.
Wait, why did I do a pirate noise? Arg.
All right. Eye patch.
Oh, it's an eye patch.
Yeah.
It looks like you're about to snipe me. My favorite one is fish eye. There is a slight delay on it, though.
Yeah, there's a FPS at the top of the screen.
Clown's pretty crazy. Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of sick.
So, yeah, just like the Snapchat ones, which I'm sure took a whole team to develop.
Yeah.
Do this in 2-3 prompts.
That's pretty sick. Well, let's do one more special effect one. Before this episode, I was inspired by this Lex Fridman donut. So there's a famous video that he's made. This was 5 years ago. Since I use Perplexity, I can hit Option A. I can say, okay, please write out the full transcript of this video. I think this will work. I'm not sure. But ideally, okay, here's the full video transcript. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and open up Cursor. And we have this extension already open. I want you to create a landing page that has the effect that Lex is talking about in this episode in full. Think hard. I'm going to paste in that transcript. Go. And you know, another MCP tool that I saw someone use previously is a YouTube MCP that, like, if you there's a link pasted, it automatically has the ability to pull the entire transcript from the video. Yeah. And it can actually search for YouTube videos, which means it can search, then it can pull the transcript. So those are one example of that.
Can you add MCPs to Perplexity?
No, but they have tools that you can use. But you can also, yeah. I don't think so. I don't know. I only use the basic features. I think the agentic browsing stuff is overrated.
Yeah.
I could see myself going back to Chrome just because they're adding AI features and it has Gemini built into it.
Are you using like Dia or the other one?
Yeah, Comet. I was using Comet there.
What's the difference between those?
Perplexity just feels better. Dia just never felt good. It felt good at the very beginning. I made a video on it. I actually really liked some of it. Comet just felt better. It felt more powerful. The AI models are better. Dia was worse. But anyway.
Back to
Oh, done. It's done already? Okay. Run it locally on port 3000. Transmuting.
And I think in the original video, he coded it in like C. Whoa. Dude,
it just
that is just it. One-shotted.
Okay, please make what? It bigger and have three of them in different colors. It should be 2x as big.
Go back to the browser. Can you change the code on the right?
No.
Oh, that'd be cool if you could, because that is like what is making it a donut. So you could like play around with that.
That's so fascinating. I wonder.
That's in C. That is cool.
Wait, this is C?
Yeah, but it might have just, I don't know how it's running.
Oh, it's HTML.
Scroll down, go up. Okay, I don't know what is going on over there. No, I don't even know how it's doing.
What if it's just like finding something online and rendering it? Like,
Oh, I see. There's a calculate render donut.
Oh, function render donut.
It JavaScript.
Okay.
I believe in the video he did it.
I do like these views. This looks good. Like,
yeah.
This interface, it's kind of nice, actually. Like, this is just looks nice. It's got this nice, like, little, it's very simple.
It's definitely like a competitor to Claude now. Or not Claude.
Or Cursor.
Cursor.
There it is.
Dude.
That's crazy. So we now have these three donuts spinning around. All right. Using the same logic, I want you to keep only one of these donuts and then pick 9 other objects to have. So I want a grid. 2x5, 10 total objects spinning around. One of them is a donut, 9 other different objects. And then at the top, I want you to put Riley Brown is the shit. This will be my personal landing page.
What if you had it where you could like upload pictures and then it starts making that spin?
Yeah, you could. I mean, you would need to get a pretty good AI model and you need to write good system instructions, right? For the AI to write it.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
I guess Claude could do that. You could give the image to
Claude. Yeah, you can use the Claude Code SDK to do that. Claude Agent SDK. But maybe you wouldn't need it.
You probably wouldn't need it. So what do you prefer 4.5?
Or Codex?
Yeah.
I don't know. I did some testing this morning, and I thought the difference between them was so not interesting. I think you can't go wrong with either one. You know, like, I think right now, I think it's good to get used to this new interface. I think this is genuinely interesting to people. But I think finding the edge between things that are like really close together is an overrated thing to do.
Yeah.
I'd much rather just have these exploratory sessions where I'm like, what can you build with 4.5? And you're like, oh, now I'm learning something. I can use TensorFlow rather than like, all right, we're going to use these standardized prompts and we're going to calculate these benchmarks. And it's like, you should just tell if one is clearly better, just focus on that one. But yeah. Right now, I don't think either are clearly better. A lot of people are saying for back-end harder tasks, Codex is clearly better.
Yeah.
For quick UI changes, I heard 4.5 is better just because it's fast and it just gets it done right away. This is neat. So this is a donut. We can tell this is a donut. This looks like some sort of spiral. This...
Let's start. That's a chair. You see the chair.
Are you sure?
No, maybe a rug.
All right, Riley Brown is the shit. Please make it 2x5, not 5x2 like you have it. Also, label the items in small text. Because I cannot tell what these are. I just put this in the center here. What is this, a pretzel?
A toaster.
Yeah, like, yeah, let's actually try and guess what this is. You think this is a toaster?
Toaster or a car?
This might be a chair, but I'm not sold that it's a chair. I mean, where are you getting that from?
I see the leg. You see the legs on top. Legs on top. Now they're rotating.
All right, that's a theory. I give it a 30% chance.
What is that?
This looks like a pretzel
to me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a cone. That's a cone.
This is a cone?
It has to be. Or a clown hat.
Oh, what the hell is going on? I think it's just an error. All right, so clearly what it's doing here, the reason it was successful in creating the donut, it clearly just found the code online and just did it,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no way that this is just like perfect.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's good. Like, it's like a tube. It's like a cylinder.
Where?
The red one. Not that one. The red one. It's like a perfect tube. And you'll see it open up in a second. Boom. And it like...
Okay, I see it. It is cool. It is. This one's good. That one's pissing me off. Right, okay, refresh.
Let's see
okay.
The chair.
Where is it?
Oh, it's a pyramid.
Wait, which one was it?
It's the orange one. That's a yellow.
This one?
No, it's red. Orange.
Oh, cylinder.
That's a cylinder. Below. Go. Yeah.
Oh, pyramid. How? How is that a pyramid? Okay,
What is the teal one? Go down. What does that even say? The one on the right.
This is a Klein bottle, a Taurus knot.
Oh, okay. It's like a Wetzel's pretzels.
Okay, cool. Anyway, yeah, you can kind of just create whatever you want. You know, like you could say, change it to just one massive donut.
A Homer Simpson donut.
Homer Simpson style. And the point is you can just have fun with code. You don't need to have any specific thing in mind. Part of vibe coding is seeing what's possible. And here you can see that you can use this ASCII. Is that what you call it? Yeah. ASCII, like basically using letters to create kind of images or visuals or these like graphics here. And yeah, you can kind of just do whatever.
You know, a good challenge would be to make it run in the terminal. Like the little donut in the terminal. That's kind of technical.
Yeah, we'll do that maybe when everyone in the audience is you know, once we're on vibe coding 102. But okay. Right now we're still in the basics. All right, let's see. So we can refresh this, and boom.
A Homer Simpson style.
That's actually kind of dope as hell. Maybe I shouldn't have had them all generate at once. I mean, look at the level of detail. Thing's a unit.
Dude, if I was Homer Simpson, I'd want to eat that.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Anyway, so... this is the new interface for Claude Code that you can download, and it's very easy. You can use it for free. You have to pay for Claude, but you don't have to use Cursor. You can use VS Code. It's the same exact process, literally the same. And Claude is getting better. And yeah, I just thought we'd do a little exploratory session, see what we can build. We built some two visually fun things. In the next video with Mohammed, we're going to be doing some mobile app stuff. We're going to be diving into the weeds. We're going to get apps on the App Store. We're going to get back to that content. If you like this style of video, let us know in the comments. If you don't like it, also let us know in the comments so I can block you. Just kidding. Yeah, anyway, this was fun.
Yep.
Any final words?
Yeah, thank you guys for watching. You know, what do I say? I mean, this has been a pleasure. Thank you, Riley Brown, for having me down up here.
All right. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you here in the next video.